Chapter 4, The Backswing. Now you are ready to start the swing, to uncover the first fatal flaws that appear with the horrible shots they produce, and to learn the first of the magic moves that will cut strokes from your score. Ironically, these first flaws that creep into the average player's swing produce an effect that is the exact opposite of what he wants. Just as you have, he has read and heard all his golfing life that certain things are essential. The first of these is that you must pivot. The second is that the club must be taken away from the ball inside the projected line of flight. The third is that the wrist should be broken late and upward. We dealt with these 3 points individually in Chapter 2. Now, let's see what happens when you put them into practice. You twist your body as you start the takeaway. This brings the club back on an inside line. Fine. It opens the face of the club too. Excellent, you say, for you know it should be open at the top of the swing. You delay the wrist break as long as possible, and then let the wrist break upward. Then what happens? The very thing you wanted most to avoid. You hit the ball from the outside in, with an open face, usually, and you get an outlandish slice. If you close the face in the downswing, you probably will get a pull, or a smother if it's closed too much, or a hook. If the club is outside the line far enough, you will even get that most horrible of all shots, a shank. You are then thoroughly crestfallen. You have done everything you've been told to do, and you still hit those awful shots. Why? You hit them because your early movements got you into such a position at the top that you could hardly hit anything else. Your early pivot, your attempt to turn in a barrel, didn't permit you to transfer your weight to your right leg. You kept too much of it on your left leg. Taking the club away inside, it was probably quite sharply inside, got it moving too flat, as well as opening the face. Then, to get the swing farther along, you had to bring the club up. At that point, things began to get tight and uncomfortable. To ease them, you stopped the turn that your shoulders were making, and you let your left wrist collapse, or bend back and go under the club. This let you raise the club and get what you felt was a full swing, without being uncomfortable. The face of the club, of course, was wide open at the top. What happened next was inevitable. You started the downswing by re-gripping with your left hand, which had loosened, which made you get the club head starting moving too soon. Your weight, being mostly on your left leg, moved back to the right leg. You turned your hips and shoulders sharply, which threw the club onto the outside in line you were trying to avoid, and you came down across the ball. Chances are that as you did, your left knee snapped back and locked, and your right knee bent straight out in front of you, and your follow-through, what there was of it, carried the club around you instead of up and out after the ball. You, however, see none of these things as the cause of your bad shots. You feel only that you haven't done well enough what you are trying to do, and in your efforts to meet the standards, you exaggerate the actions. You don't improve. You may easily get worse. And you finally end your practice session frustrated and dejected, or your round if you are playing, with a shameful score. The magic move. Fortunately, there is a cure for all this. A cure that is almost miraculous. The magic move that puts you on the right track immediately is simply this. Start the backswing with an early backward wrist break. Of course, this sounds too simple to be true. It violates every rule you have ever heard about starting the swing. Your first reaction is that Messieurs Dante and Elliot have gone completely off their rockers. But it is true, and unless your swing is now everything you want it to be, you will find out how and why this magic move is made. The wrist break itself is simple enough, actually, though if you have been breaking in the conventional way, you may need a little more time to convince yourself of what is to be done and to make yourself do it. Since the backward break is one of the key points in our system, let's be absolutely certain you understand what it is. First, hold your right hand in front of you, fingers together and extended, thumb up, and the palm squarely facing the left. From that position, bend the hand to the right, trying to make the fingers come back towards the outside of the wrist. You can't get them anywhere near the wrist, of course, but a person with supple wrists can bend the hand back until hand and wrist form a right angle. This motion of the hand straight back is the backward wrist break. The standard wrist break is quite different. Hold your hand again as you held it before. Now, instead of bending it backwards, bend it up so that the thumb comes towards you. That is the orthodox, accepted wrist break. Forget it. You will get it eventually, but you don't want it now. You will remember that the grip we stipulated was one which, at address, showed only two knuckles of the left hand and one of the right hand. You will also recall that the right hand was put on the club so that the left thumb lay right down the middle of the right palm. This brought the heel of the right thumb against the big knuckle at the base of the left thumb. The thumb press. To make the backward wrist break, we merely push the heel of the right hand down against the big knuckle of the left thumb. This is a downward pressure of the heel on the thumb. When it is done, without moving the hands otherwise, the right hand breaks backward at the wrist and the left hand breaks forward or inward, the hack of the left hand going under and facing, in a general way, toward the ground. At this point, the club will have come back slightly inside the projected line of flight, but the club face will not have opened. The face will be at about a 45 degree angle with the ground, and, as you stand there, you will not be able to see any of it. To be certain you are making the break correctly, there is a perfect checkpoint at this stage. If you look at your hands, you will see, if the break is right, one knuckle of your left hand and the first two knuckles of the right. The left hand will be broken in at an angle with the wrist, figure 15. If the break is completed here, without letting the hands move away from their address position, the club will have been brought back and up until it is almost parallel with the ground. How near it approaches the parallel depends on how supple your wrists happen to be. Following our description of how the break is made, try it 10 times. If you don't soon get the feel of it, try it 20 or 50 times. But do it until you get the feel, checking yourself each time with the left hand and right hand knuckles and the angle of the face of the club. This is a key move, the foundation of the swing, and you must do it right. Get the feel of doing it right, and do it so much that it becomes automatic. It is easy to practice, requiring very little room, and can be worked on indoors or out, winter as well as summer. Get it, and get it right. We have not put this into the actual swing yet, remember? We are still working on the mechanics of the wrist break. It is just possible that at this fundamental stage, you will refuse to believe that you can hit the ball with such a break. So, make this test. Go to the practice tee, or to a range or an indoor net. Address the ball. Make the backward break, and do nothing else. Don't shift your weight, move your hips, or turn your shoulders. Just make the backward break. Hold it a couple of seconds. Now, simply turn your shoulders, letting the shoulders swing your arms and the club up to the top, and then go right on through with the swing and hit the ball. You will be amazed at what happens after you try this a few times. You will find, if you keep the wrist position, that you not only hit the ball, but that you hit it solidly, hit it straight, and hit it a surprising distance. You will also discover that the more you permit the turning shoulders to swing the club up, the better you will hit the ball and the farther you will hit it. Make no effort to swing the arms. Just let the shoulders move them and the club. The more the arms are swung independently of the shoulders, the less likely you are to reach a good position at the top. So, picture the shoulders as the motivating force, the motor. The closer you bring this motivating force to the axis of the swing, the spinal column, the better the swing will be. This two-piece action is invaluable for practicing the immediate break, for getting the feel of the break, for checking whether you have done it correctly or not, and for proving to yourself its value and the value of the hand and wrist position. In fact, you can use it in actual play. We have pupils who do. Into the swing. The next step is to incorporate the early wrist break into the swing itself, making it a single uninterrupted motion. For this, we must start with what has come to be known as the forward press, for it is with this that the backswing begins. The forward press is simply a device that gets us from the passive into the active stage smoothly without a jerk. Standing in a stationary position, even for a few seconds, is tiring. Ask any serviceman who has stood at attention for an extended period. We don't pass easily from a stationary position into a big move. The trick in golf is to go from the stationary position of the address to the big movement of the backswing without a jerky effort. The forward press provides this transition. It is the little move that leads into the big one. It can be done in several ways: with the right knee, with the hips, with the hands, with a turn of the hips. We want a lateral movement of the hips, no turn. It is a slight pushing of the hips to the left, laterally, about an inch or two. This press is in the opposite direction from the big move, but as the hips come back from their little pushing motion, they keep right on sliding and go into a lateral turning motion to the right, the beginning of the backswing, and we are off. This makes for the smoothest transition of all. As the hips move to the left in the press, they pull the hands with them just slightly, only a fraction of an inch. When the hips come back, the hands come back. Now, as the hips and hands come back from the press, push the heel of the right hand down firmly, but not sharply, on the left thumb. The back of the left hand starts to turn under, and the all-important backward wrist break has begun. This move should not be a sharp or violent action. It should be firm and steady, and it feels much quicker than it looks, or actually is. The hands, meanwhile, are moving to the right as the wrists are cocking, and the hips are sliding into a lateral turn, taking the weight with them. Before you realize it, your hands will be waist high, and at that joint, the wrist break should be completed. Right here is the first checkpoint. Stop the swing and look at your hands. If the wrist break has been performed correctly, you will see at this point just the reverse of what you saw at the address. You should see only one knuckle of the left hand, but two knuckles of the right hand, those at the bases of the index and middle fingers, figures 18 and 19. You should not be able to see any of the face of the club either. The face should be turned away from you and somewhat down, not at the 45-degree angle it was in the stationary test, but still turned away and somewhat down. You should see a definite inward bend of the left hand, a reflex angle formed by the forearm and the back of the hand. The shaft will be at about a 45-degree angle to the ground, and the angle formed by the left arm and the shaft of the club will be somewhat more than a right angle, maybe 100 degrees. You should feel that the wrists cannot be broken anymore. They will be a little at the top by the weight of the club head, but they should feel now as though the break were absolutely complete. If these checkpoints are not all clearly visible, except the club shaft position, exactly as we have given them, your break has been wrong. The chances are that you have pushed the heel of the right hand sideways against the left thumb instead of down. This brings the club too sharply on an inside line, tends to open the face somewhat, and doesn't get the back of the left hand started going down under as it must. With such a break, when it is completed, you will see two knuckles of the left hand and only one of the right, just as you did at address. So, correct it by starting over again and pushing down on the left thumb. That brings the back of the left hand down and under and gives you the position you must have. What it does. Heretical, you say? Of course it is. Awkward and uncomfortable? Oh yes, indeed. But you want to break 80, don't you? Or 90, or whatever goal you have set for yourself, right? Then stick with it. Hit some balls with it, being sure your execution is right before you condemn it. Meanwhile, look what it has done for your swing already. The club head has been started almost straight back from the ball, as it should be. The club face has been kept square, as it must be if you are going to play better golf. The hip slide has moved much of your weight over to the right leg, where it must go, and your hips are now turning somewhat. Your right elbow has been automatically brought in against your side, starting you on a tight, controlled arc. The wrist break, at the same time, has started the swing in a plane that will prove to be ideal, neither too upright nor too flat. The shoulders have begun to turn and to tilt just a little, with the left going down slightly and the right coming up. And, perhaps most important of all, your hands and wrists are set early in exactly the position they must be in. All this adds up to the fact that although the backswing has progressed only about a third of its distance, you already are locked into actions which will bring you to the top in perfect position. Your next questions, without a doubt, are going to be, why is this first move so important, and Why does it do what it does? To answer these, we will have to go back quite a few years in the theories of golf technique. 30 years ago, there was one accepted method of hitting a golf ball. That was with an open face and with a late wrist break. Those were the points that the teaching pros taught then. The face should be opened on the backswing, should be opened at the top, and should be close to a square position on the downswing as the ball was hit. The natural way to get the open face at the top was with a late wrist break. The break should never be started before the hands were waist high. In fact, many taught that you should pay no attention whatever to breaking the wrists. They would break by themselves. This is the way Varden, Jones, Walter Hagen, Gene Sarazen, and most of the others hit the ball. There were exceptions, such as Craig Wood, who won the National Open in 1941, and Lawson Little, who won the Open in 1940, and the American and British Amateur Championships twice each in successive years. Shut-face hitters, both were looked upon as heretics. After World War II, with competition on the American professional circuit getting even keener, with ever more money at stake, the pros began to make changes here and there, tinkering with the swing, both for accuracy and for distance. Sam Snead, Byron Nelson, and Ben Hogan made alterations. Then the younger group came along. Arnold Palmer, Bill Casper, and others. They made more. In 1958, one of the girl pros, Betty Hicks, quoted another pro, Helen Detweiler, as saying that the men were not practicing what they preached. The men urged their pupils, she said, to sweep the club head low, away from the ball, and delay the wrist cock until the hands were hip high. But the men themselves, she observed, were with few exceptions starting their wrist cock at the beginning of the backswing, and she offered to produce movies to prove it. In 1961, the great little West Coast phenomenon and 1961 PGA champion Jerry Barber described how he starts his wrist break even earlier, right off the forward press. Sequence pictures showed him doing exactly that. He has the break completed, he said, and again the pictures prove it, by the time his hands are hip high. It is also noticeable in their pictures that both Palmer and Casper have the club face in a relatively closed position at the top of the swing, not completely shut, but closed at least 45 degrees. So do several others, including Wes Ellis, former Canadian, Metropolitan, and Texas Open champion. All are striving for what they consider a square face at the top. With it, they know they will bring it square to the line at impact without any manipulation on the downswing. This is something the old-timers had trouble with. Being open at the top, they had to manipulate the club on the way down. Usually they succeeded, quite often they didn't. But that is one reason, we believe, why the modern pros are much more consistent, as well as longer, than their predecessors of 30 years ago. All of which is background for the action taught in this book. The backward wrist break gives you the square position so necessary for accuracy. The immediate wrist break locks you in the square position early. So, the first flaws that spoil a golf swing have been uncovered. You know what they are and the horrible shots they cause. More to the point, you have been given the first of the magic moves that will eliminate those bad shots and put you on the road to better golf and lower scores.